Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Hi, everybody. This is Shel Brodnax with Real Estate Staging Association. Thank you for joining us today on Stager Talk. Today, I have two guests with me. One is Joanne Leonard-Weary, and the second is Sandra Ray. So I want to take a minute to introduce both of you. Joanne, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you're coming into convention with this year.
Well, thank you, Shel, for inviting me, and I am delighted to be a participant in the RESA conference this year. I've only missed one, and every one of them is fun, dynamic, a great learning opportunity, so I can't wait to come again in 2016. My background is that since I was a small child, I have been addicted to making things look beautiful, so I know most everyone in your audience can relate to that. I am here in 2015. This is actually my 40th year in business. For 40 years, people have paid me to create beautiful rooms. I was staging before there was an industry, had my real estate license. I was staging back when interest rates were 18%, and my properties were selling because I was staging them. So I've been doing this for a long time. That experience can be helpful to a lot of people. In the process, I started the Decorating and Staging Academy, and we teach the longest running redesign program, hands-on redesign program in the country. And from that evolved a request for more about color. So about 10 years ago, I developed the Confident Color System, and color is exactly what I will be addressing at conference.
Fantastic.
I think we all know if you sit and have a conversation with anybody about decorating, it always begins with color, doesn't it?
It does. You're right. And we definitely know from our industry that you are the color guru. You're the go-to person when it comes to color. And so we appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit about your session in a minute. And I want to take a moment to introduce Sandra Race. Sandra is also going to be a speaker at RESACON, and her topic is decorating in the zone for selling and dwelling. So Sandra, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Shel. I, too, am excited. Joanne and I have had the privilege of speaking a couple times at the RESA conference, and like Joanne said, it's the place to be. It really, especially if you're in staging, considering it, in decorating or redesign, any combination of those services that you might offer or be interested in offering. I started my business, Signature Redesign, about 14 years ago, and I came from a marketing and business background. And, you know, it really kind of just lined up. We are marketing not only ourselves in business, but we're marketing our homes. We're marketing it to potential buyers, or we're marketing ourselves and what the client wants. So my topic, decorating in the zone for staging and dwelling, if you're not familiar with decorating in the zone, I mean, it really and truly is a game changer for your business, and even if it's staging only or decorating only. But it really does help you achieve that vertical and horizontal balance, because we all know in staging we're selling square footage, north, south, east, and west kind of square footage. So that's part of what we're going to cover. You're going to learn again what the zone is. We're going to also cover some the design principles, because if you really don't have a good understanding of that, I mean, it's almost more work for you. So we're going to bring a little bit of that to the workshop. We're going to talk about the decorating mistakes, the impact of line and shape and form, and how that really does potential buyers see the space. And so many times we overlap with redesign, decorating, and staging. So by learning the zone concept, you're able to kind of intertwine those with whatever your clients may need. So I'm thrilled. I learned early on with this marketing aspect that's what we're doing. We're making it a practical, kind of systematic approach. And that always, I think, makes it easier and takes all that confusion out for you, the decorator, stager, or for your client. So I'm thrilled to be sharing this. I mean, I am passionate about this topic. Joanne and I, when we teach our classes, you know, we see the impact when our students understand and grasp it.
I agree. And I see there is a lot of a lot of overlap when we're talking about all these three, should I say, disciplines in our industry, so to speak. But even, Joanne, with your Confident Color System and Sandra, with the zones of what we're talking about, let me ask you both this a question, because I think it applies across the board, just to the industry in general. Can people learn this, or is this something that you either have or you don't have?
That's a great question, Shel. I do believe that just like the ability to sing, we are blessed with a good eye for composition, scale, color, and that type of thing. And if you have a good eye, that definitely gives you an opportunity to be more creative. But even for those who are not blessed with that gene, I think if you have an understanding of core design principles, you still can create beautiful rooms. And particularly within the staging industry, where creativity is not quite as important a piece of the puzzle as it is if I'm creating a room for an individual client. Sandra, do you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, I was just thinking about the impact of color and understanding color, because, I mean, I'll be honest, when I started, I was picking out some great colors. Everybody was happy. And when I took the certified color class, I really sat back after about 2 hours into it and thinking, good gracious, how did I get anything right? Because I was instinctively having some talent of what looks nice, but once you got that education, then it was like there was never going to be a mistake made. And it's the same way with furniture placement and the way you approach a room. You may be moving furniture around and, it looks good. But once you kind of learn the rules, it takes all that guesswork out. So it's great if you come with some talent, but if you're willing to throw yourself in, and like we said, if you like watching HGTV, you know, you're the perfect candidate. You know, you like making rooms look pretty. So education can definitely play a big part in it.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. Now, when you're putting a room together, let's just look at the staging aspect of it. I think that's one of the most common questions homeowners or agents that are wanting to stage their own listings will have is, well, how do I arrange the furniture? Well, I think that there's probably some commonality factors into this, and you can get specifically into this when there's placement, a template, what's a generalized template, but they don't always work. So that's really going back to the knowledge and the creativity that stems when you're really professionally trained and you have an eye for it to really figure out which one of those templates work. Or is that something that's just going to apply across the board, or do you have to be really careful with that?
Well, I think one thing that is important to establish is, first of all, you know, we always tell our students, you need to, first of all, think, what am I trying to accomplish? So if I am working in a room for an individual client, and 2 days later, I'm working in exactly the same footprint for a house that I'm selling, my goal is completely different. The other big problem that I think stagers often make when they are placing furniture is they don't pay attention to the verticality of the room. We tend to work within that footprint, or what we call the function zone, in the room, and as long as my sofa is placed correctly. But Sandra made a very valid point. We're selling square footage. So I think it's important that They have an understanding of what our goals are, what we need to do with the furniture, but then how do we go into those next layers? Because if I start bringing the eye up into the room, then there's an illusion of more space, which simply adds value to that selling price. So it's important to look at the room not just as a footprint, but also through that verticality aspect of it. And that's where I think many dropped the ball.
Well, can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by the verticality? Because I think I think probably somebody newer into the industry might not know what that term means.
Okay. So when we create balance in a room, oftentimes what we focus on is the horizontal balance in the room. You know, do I have a sofa balanced by two chairs across the room? But what you need to do, so that achieves your horizontal balance. So balance is always about achieving the effect of visual and real weight in the room. Vertical balance means that I take that weight that I've used in that lower zone and I'm bringing it up to the ceiling. So that's with the introduction of accessories, window treatments, color on the walls. So instead of the room feeling very bottom heavy, which is where people tend to focus, we want to make sure that it feels evenly weighted all the way up to the ceiling, because then it brings the eye up and gives that room the illusion of size in there. And Sandra, you probably have some thoughts to address in that nature.
And that's a perfect point, Joanne, because, I mean, face it, as stagers, we are selling that square footage, architectural interest, and the view. And the view is usually at not that bottom, that function area, which we always get the sofa in there, we always get the furniture. But if we don't somehow make our eye focus on that view, or let's say that dramatic fireplace, it's just a, you know, standalone element, then we really cheated ourselves. It's almost just having like that, you know, little block in a really huge possibility of expanse. You could expand your eye. So that's kind of what we mean. We want to make sure that we've made that potential buyer's eye go up as well as left to right. So then that space looks bigger.
Right. And when you think about it, Shel, you know, when someone walks into the room, the sweet zone that they focus on is going to be somewhere in the range of 48 to 65 inches. And yet what we tend to focus on when we're staging a property is that area that is 36 inches and below, which is where your sofa and all of your furniture sits. So we want to make sure that you're paying attention to the area where the eye is going to rest, because, and like Sandra says, it's not just square footage, it's also the totality of the room that's going to give it the illusion of size, which, again, makes it feel like it's worth the asking price.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Now, when you're looking about the accessories and the color to draw the eye, is there ever a time where you're going to use too much color? And can you touch on, without, you know, giving it all, I know we only have limited time today, and you'll really get into this during your sessions, but how much color, is there too much color? Or how is that, are you going to be able to cover how you use the color in a room?
Absolutely. We're going to talk about color ratios and how to use them to your advantage. And there really is not necessarily too much color. It would be more too many colors. So our buyers today are much more sophisticated. You know, when we all began and staging was becoming an industry, what I said is everyone was creating a big bowl of oatmeal, because every room pretty much looks like a big bowl of oatmeal. And what we want to do with using, you know, the zone method of decorating a room and then bringing in the power of color, what we're trying to create is memorability. So remember the house that. You know, remember the house that had the red dining room, or remember the house that had the painted ceiling, or remember the house that had the beautiful window treatments. Because when a buyer looks at numerous properties and they all look like a big bowl of oatmeal, nothing is going to stand out. So color can become a very inexpensive inexpensive way of adding that memory trigger to a property.
I love that.
You know, one thing, I just want to add this too, Shel, because Joanne's session and mine both, even if you've been in business for a long time, they're geared to wide ranges of experience. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in business for a long time, there'll be some tips and educational points in there that'll just enhance your business, even if you've been in business for a while.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you just said, a memory trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I love that term. It makes sense, you know. I know we've seen probably over the last year or two a lot of very monochromatic looks, which were very pulled off. They look very Pottery Barnish and things of that nature. But we also see the pops of color. How much is too many colors when you're looking at a room?
Well, when you are staging, you really do not want to use more than three colors. And remembering that one of those colors is only 10% of the space. So it's just kind of a wink to the room. So a three-color story or less is what you want to use in a space. And, you know, where you can manipulate that is by changing the value of the color or the, you know, the depth of the color. And then making sure even more critically is, you know, when we think about color, everyone has heard the terms hue, saturation, and value. We hear the terms and it's like, yeah, what does that really mean? But it's knowing how each of those things work. So, you know, one of the things Sandra and I really focus on is, you know, how do I use this information to my advantage? So when I think of hue, saturation, and value, saturation is a component of color that it affects or impacts the emotional element of a room. And value is the impact or is the element that impacts the perception of size. So not only using the color story that works effectively, but knowing how to manipulate saturation and value so you create a room that is interesting, has that memory trigger, but is not overdone by any means.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, both of your sessions, we've got Decorating in the Zone for Selling and Dwelling with Sandra, and Joanne, yours is The Power of Color on a Space and in Your Business. So with both of these aspects of color, when you're looking, whether you're staging or you're doing a redesign aspect, what's a little bit about the differences that you may encounter as a stager or a stager that offers redesign services to be able to know how you're going to use that color differently, whether you're doing the redesign for a client that's not selling their home versus the client that is selling the home? Are there key major strong points, like maybe the top three differences of what you would use?
Well, I'd say first of all, you know, again, whenever I'm doing the room, what is my goal? And if my goal is to sell that house, I need to identify my target market, and then I need to identify a color palette that has broad appeal. When I am decorating a home, it is all about that homeowner. So the color palette that I select is going to be based on, we're going to teach you a very quick little 3-minute color test to help you really get inside that client's head. So number one, remember who your market is. Two, get out of your own way. So if you like a certain color palette, you may tend to use that color palette in staging again and again. You may tend to carry that over into decorating, and pretty soon you have become what Sandra and I refer to as a cookie-cutter decorator. If I look at her portfolio, every job pretty much looks alike. So get out of your way. It doesn't matter what colors you like. It needs to be at the colors that are really selling and trending out there if you are staging. And number three is don't be afraid of it. Make sure you use it effectively to highlight when selling those key selling features of the room. And if I'm decorating, again, understanding where your client wants to go with it. So if you're a person who loves neutralized rooms, you need to remember this isn't your room. You're not living there. So don't be afraid to bring the color into it. And Sandra, I'm sure you could make some of the same points when it comes to placement.
Absolutely. In fact, in speaking about the color, I was just talking to a girl the other day, and she said she was a stager. She said, I always use strip number 16. I said, well, does strip number 16 go with the architectural feature that you're showcasing? Does it go with the items in the room? So just because you may get this, what you consider a user-friendly color, that may not be selling these key points, you know, might not be driving you outside, might not be coordinating with the stone, might not work with any piece of furniture in there. So that is that cookie cutter reference that you made, Joanne, is so good, because strip 16 is not going to work every time. So by learning these tips and even, you know, the things we're going to kind of teach you to get out of your own way, then you're going to know that, you know, instead of 16, we're going over here to 24 or whatever it might be, so that that does work. And it's the same thing with placement. If placement is not allowing your potential buyer to walk comfortably, to walk up the wall, in other words, with their eyes, or is their artwork that's placed at the right position? If it's too high above the sofa, it's just, that's all by itself then. So if you're not learning these tricks and kind of following, you're kind of having a disconnect, which your buyer may not even know why they feel disconnected, but they're like, oh, okay, that's a nice room, versus, oh, I want that room.
Definitely makes a lot of sense with placement. Let me ask you all this. With staging, you've been doing staging forever, you've been doing redesign forever. When you're looking
we're 29.
But you're 29, yeah. Clearly. When you're looking at building that room, let's just look at placement, furniture placement. I know for a fact, because it happened to myself, of all people, that I was selling my first home, a condominium, and I staged it, and I was so proud of it. It was just amazing work. And my agent, who had been a big promoter of staging for many, many years, she came in and said, oh, yeah, it looks great, but I'm calling in my professional stager. I was still too close to it and could not see my placement. I did change my furniture placement from the way that I was living in it to, and I moved it around a bit, and I was just so proud of it. But boy, let me tell you, when she brought her stager in afterwards, I came in and I myself was blown away. So I just never would have thought of that. I never would have thought of moving it this way. So we know that happens in selling your home, but even with a redesign and moving the furniture around, you know, just a little bit or a lot, what are the ratios of people that will tell you let's look at the redesign aspect and then the selling aspect, where you actually change the entire function of, not the function of the room, let's just look at a living room, but the placement of the room. How many of those sellers and people that are staying in their home for the redesign comment that they never would have thought about changing the placement of the furniture?
Well, 100%.
Exactly. I mean, 100%. That's really our goal.
It is.
So yeah, when you're doing the selling, do they ever literally say to you, you know, I never would have thought of that, you know, we should have been living this way for the last 20 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's when you know you've done your job really well, when the seller suddenly sees potential in a space that they had never witnessed before. And, you know, like Sandra says, that's our goal. I always say to my students, if we're out on a project for a class, I said, okay, the buzzwords are, I never would have thought of that, or some version of that, because then you know if you've accomplished something. And going back again to our discussion about memory triggers, if you do something in that room that is unconventional and yet still makes sense for what you're trying to do, there's another memory trigger. Remember the house that.
Well, and let me just throw this in too. When we're redesigning, because you were comparing redesign to selling, when we're redesigning, we're shooting for that, I never would have thought of that. When we're staging it, I love to hear that, gosh, I don't want to sell now. And that has happened before. After a staging, I've had, you know, a couple of clients. So, gosh, you know, we like it now. We're not going to sell it. And that always kind of makes you feel bad, especially if the agent's paying for your staging. But,
and that's when we joke back and say, yeah, we joke back and say, oh, no, get out of here. You don't, you want to sell that home, and you just make sure they go through with that sale. So that agent is a very happy agent afterwards with a sale on their record.
And that's exactly how your business grows as well. You know, from my standpoint, I began decorating, and the staging evolved because I got my real estate license as a decorator because I was addicted to houses. I couldn't have cared less about selling a house. I just wanted to get into as many houses legally as possible. And the staging was just a natural extension. But then you find that your clients have an appreciation for what you've been able to do to the space. So more often than not, they hired you for staging. And if you're smart, you're going to follow them to their next home to decorate it. And that just puts more money in your checkbook. And isn't that the goal?
Definitely would be the goal. Definitely be the goal. So let's go over, Sandra, with your presentation. What are maybe two things that you would say today that if somebody's on the fence about taking your workshop, your class, what are a couple, two or three things that you can pinpoint that would convince them to take it?
Okay, well, first of all, the zone. You need to understand the zone, and that will, again, apply to both redesign, decorating, and staging. So we're going to break that down, and that will, again, like I said, it's a game changer. But we're also going to talk about line, shape, and form, and that somehow a lot of times gets missed. You may have that instinct, but if you don't, once you learn those core pieces, you're going to look at that space differently. And then we're going to, you know, I basically wrote up that we're going to have three design elements every room needs, but you know how that goes. Sometimes you just can't stop us, so you'll get more than three. And again, we're going to achieve that vertical and horizontal balance and teach you how to do that. And I know that was more than a couple. Sorry, I just get excited.
That's okay. And Joanne, what's the same question for you? What are a few things that will entice people if they're on the fence?
Well, if I can, this is kind of for both of our classes. When it comes to a room, nothing impacts the emotion of a room and the functionality of a room than placement. Placement is the number one component in putting a room together. Color is the second component. So with Sandra, you're going to learn the power of placement and how things need to be. And in my class, you're going to have a better understanding of how to use color effectively and how to make sure that you don't make those color mistakes. And most importantly, you know, how not to fall into your old tired habits. Like when Sandra says on my stage, or, you know, a stage I met said I do everything on strip 16. It's like, how boring, because for the most part, you came into this industry because you're creative and you love creating beautiful rooms. So basically, you're phoning it in on every house. We're going to do strip 16 and Sherwin-Williams, and we're going to do, you know, every one of your jobs look alike. So we're going to talk about how to use color in a way that makes your jobs unique. I think a very important thing that I've always said to my clients, if someone can tell that I helped you, I did not do a good job. Because it isn't about having a signature look. It's about addressing the needs of that room and the clients that you're working for, whether they're a target market selling client or a individual dwelling client. And color is going to allow you to do that. Also, we talked about in mine is the power of color, not only in a room, but also in your business. You know, are the colors that you're using to market your business old and tired? What's the story you're telling? You know, if I look at your business cards or your website, what is the mental picture that I get of who you are based on the colors that you're doing? So we're going to be stretching as we talk about the power of color, to not only how to make a beautiful room, but also how to implement some of that knowledge into marketing yourself more successfully.
So with your session, Joanne, when we talk about the power of color on a space and in your business, then you'll also be able to touch on some of the color aspects with regard to the branding of your own business then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's critical. I just had a woman the other day that I'm working with that I'm coaching, and I said to her, you know, we always talk about aspiration words or power words when it comes to a room. And I said to her, give me aspiration words for your site. What are the words that you would want someone to think of when they came to your site? And so she gave me words like encouraged, hopeful, empowered. And I said, okay, good, let's look at your site. And I went to her site that was all done in a big bowl of oatmeal colors. And it was like, well, let me tell you, when I look at your site, I want to jump off a cliff. So there were her words. You know, you always have to go back again to the goal. What am I trying to do? You know, we talk about there's so many options in design. Your job is the process of elimination. It's not what will work. You need to establish what won't work. And with understanding the color, understanding the placement needs, what you're trying to accomplish in that room, and your aspirational words, you can narrow the focus very quickly so you get your job done more efficiently.
Oh, I just love that. Absolutely love that.
Too.
Well, thank you both for joining me today. I'll give a little bit of a recap here. Sandra, your session is called Decorating in the Zone for Selling and Dwelling, and that session is going to be held on January 24th at RisaCon 2016 between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Joanne, your session, The Power of Color on a Space and in Your Business, is being held on the same day, January 24th, but you're in the last educational sessions, which is 1:30 p.m. to about 2:45 p.m. So if anybody's on the fence about attending RisaCon or one of these programs, there's still lots of time to sign up. Please go to risaconvention.com and click on the register button. It'll take you through the registration process. You can sign up and pay online. Get your tickets now. Prices do go up soon, and you want to make sure that you're getting the general admission tickets right now instead of the last minute pricing after prices change after the first of the year. So thank you again for joining us today on Stager Talk. This is Shel Brodnax. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Shel.
Thank you.